Hello and welcome to this podcast, part of the Dexcom sponsored series around real-time CGM and diabetes in primary care. My name's Adam Dawes, professional education specialist at Dexcom UK and Ireland. And today we're going to be discussing the super important role that clinical pharmacists have to play in primary care. And then moving on to kind of discussing which people would really benefit from real-time CGM and hearing from a pharmacist's key experience in that area. And I am very, very happy today to be joined by Nadia Malik. Hello, Nadia. How are you?
Hi, Adam. I'm fine, thank you.
Can you introduce yourself for everyone, please?
Yeah, sure. So my name's Nadia Malik and I'm a pharmacist at North Stockton PCN.
Brilliant. So clinical pharmacy, fairly new. What is it?
Yeah, so as of 2019, there's been some funding available through the National Contractor Directed Enhanced Service, what we call the DES, and that's to support the recruitment of pharmacists under the ARS scheme, the Additional Role Reimbursement Scheme. Now, pharmacists employed in this way, they're funded through NHS England. They get funding to complete accredited pathways, and that equips them to safely prescribe and effectively treat long-term conditions. So one of the principles of this is to deliver a continuity of care so that they can offer a consistent approach when dealing with patients with long-term conditions. So working in a PCN is working as part of a multidisciplinary team, and ideally they should be in a patient-facing role and being able to clinically assess and treat patients.
So that patient-facing part of it, I suppose that's the really super important distinction, is that you are absolutely part of that patient care team in front of a patient making those clinical decisions.
Absolutely. And it's a really good role in that you've got the background for it. And this is just a step in a different direction for pharmacists. We've been doing community pharmacy for such a long time, and patients, especially patients with long-term conditions such as diabetes, tend to access their community pharmacies more than patients that don't have long-term conditions. So putting that healthcare professional in a primary care environment just gives patients more access to better healthcare.
And I suppose the advantages for GPs is I mean, from a purely a time perspective, a resource perspective, must be great.
Absolutely. So one of the things that pharmacists, clinical pharmacists in primary care are required to do as part of the DES framework is to deliver what's called a structured medication review, an SMR. And it's a holistic approach towards patients' medication. So there's certain cohorts of patients, however, that definitely do need these types of SMRs. And they're highlighted in the IIF indicators as well. But one of them would be patients with chronic disease, such as diabetes, cardiovascular, respiratory, that kind of thing. And it's to proactively manage those patients with polypharmacy. Nowadays, patients are living longer, they're getting more complex conditions, more complex medication regimes, and that just raises more opportunity for issues to happen and non-compliance and adherence. So ideally, during these SMRs, that's when a pharmacist should be picking up on these little things and being able to support patients to manage not only the medication, but also the long-term condition.
And that's so important in diabetes nowadays, isn't it?
Absolutely. So the cohorts, like I said, one of them was polypharmacy, but also frail and elderly patients, patients in care homes, and those with multiple comorbidities, as well as patients with learning disabilities. And that ties in with obviously what NG28 says about patients with diabetes as well having access to CGM. It's all that cohort.
So you moved on to NICE there. So the NICE guidance, we live and breathe by NICE guidance, obviously in the NHS. Obviously we've had a big update last year in diabetes with NG17, 18 and 28. What kind of things did NG17 say about and NG28 say about diabetes, and especially with real-time CGM?
Well, in primary care, I tend to manage mostly type 2 patients. However, we do come across type 1 patients as well. And as far as NG17 is concerned, all type 1s should be entitled to CGM, real-time CGM or intermittent flash, whichever one it is, whichever one's suitable for them. So when I come across a patient that hasn't been offered that, it's literally just that. These are the devices. Let's try them out. What do you think? There's no criteria for them to have to go through. There's no pass or fail. It's literally a case of, right, this is something that you've got access to. Go try it and let's see how it goes.
Brilliant. that patient choice, that shared decision making, so important in chronic disease management, isn't it?
Absolutely. And a lot of the patients, especially the type ones, they don't even know that, they're still not aware of the fact that they're entitled to it now. And so when you do tell them, they go, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, I'm on the waiting list or this. So being able to access it in primary care just makes care closer to home. It makes it so much more convenient for them. They can come in, get it from their pharmacist or from their practice nurse. And we're much more accessible than the hospital, aren't we? If you do have a problem, I know everyone complains that they can't get through to the practice, but it's much easier than trying to get to the hospital, for sure.
Yeah, try getting an appointment in secondary care sometimes. Yeah, no, that's great. That's brilliant. I suppose NG28 is going to be what's informing huge part of your work, as you said, with your large type 2 kind of practice based work.
Absolutely. So when I'm carrying out these SMRs, I'm on the lookout for these patients that come under this cohort. A lot of them do have comorbidities, heart failure, cardiovascular disease, renal disease, as well as having diabetes. And diabetes isn't something that just goes away. It's something that affects their day-to-day life. So if we can give them something that helps them manage that and helps them control it better, reduce the complications, why would we not do that?
So obviously NG28, we'd love to give it to everybody with diabetes, but there are specific criteria. Would you mind sharing those for us, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So NG28 is for patients with type 2 diabetes, and the criteria for those is patients on multiple dose injections. So that's 2 or more injections daily, patients who have LD of cognitive impairment, patients who are unable to test or experiencing hypo, so frail patients, and also patients that are required to test SMBG 8 times a day. So that's quite a large cohort of patients.
That's still, isn't it? It's a pretty good cohort of people living with type 2 diabetes who have access to, and again, it is that patient choice, isn't it? It's intermittently scanned, or if it's of an equivalent price, real-time CGM, which is great. Again, we're getting that patient involved, that shared decision-making, which we know is so important in chronic disease management.
The easiest way I found is that giving the patient the choice, explaining what the differences are between the intermittent and the real-time, and seeing which one's appropriate to them. And also, if they've got access to technology as well, we just assume that patients have smartphones. Not all patients do. Not all patients are able to use them. So if you've got a reader, that might be more appropriate for a patient. I've got a patient who is a teacher, and he can't constantly be scanning, so he just has it in his bag, and whilst he's doing his lessons, he knows it's carrying on. He doesn't need to worry about scanning or checking it, and the alarms will set off if he needs to. Some patients, especially I think the older, frail patients, for them, it's an absolute like godsend, because there's times when those patients are having hypos, nocturnal hypos, especially where the care homes aren't aware of them. The patient themselves might not even be aware of them, but had we not have access to this information, we wouldn't know that this was what was going on, and we wouldn't be able to make the right decisions for them.
I suppose that segues beautifully into kind of, we've got those patients, maybe those older patients, the group we're kind of talking about with type 2 diabetes, who maybe aren't as tech savvy. How have you found Dexcom One starting patients, initiating?
Do you know what? I would give them credit. A lot of the older patients are really good at it, and they do pick it up very, very quickly. It's quite simple. I think it seems complicated to people who don't have access to this information or this technology or don't use it day to day. It might appear to be quite complicated, but it's really not. The best way to explain it to patients is it's just electronic finger pricking. That's all it is. It can seem, I think, quite overwhelming for patients to have all that information, but it's just telling them to pick out the bits that are appropriate to them. Pick out, if you're looking at hypos, then just concentrate on that bit. If you want to look at to see your time in range, you can see when it's going up. And the other way thing is it's a good way for them to see how things are affecting their blood glucose. So for example, when they've had something to eat, it's a good way for them to be able to manage their insulin and their diet, because they can see the blood sugars rising. So then it just puts them in that mindset of looking and thinking, should I be having that larger portion? Actually, should I be maybe giving increasing my insulin, reducing the portion size? And it just puts the power more to the patient. And it's not a tool for healthcare professionals to police patients and say, oh, what's been going on here? It should be more a tool for patients to empower them to look after their own condition, and passing a bit of responsibility back to the patient.
Brilliant. Absolutely. Their data belongs to them at the end of the day, doesn't it?
It does, indeed. And they're the ones that are having to live with it day to day. So they're the ones that should be in charge of it. They're the ones that should be leading it.
Yeah, that's great. And you've definitely seen in your practice that Dexcom One's really been able to empower patients to do that.
Absolutely. So we've had patients that we've recently started on insulin in primary care and they would be required to test 8 times a day. So we've used Dexcom in that situation. And for them, it's been an absolute godsend. They've been able to titrate the insulin. They've been able to see the effects of what the medication is doing, what the effects of their food is having on their blood glucose. And it just gives them more control over what's going on.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much today, Nadia. I think we'll end it on that wonderful point. As always, guys, we'll be back with another podcast shortly. The next podcast, we're going to be speaking to a diabetes nurse specialist and getting their input on patient advocacy in diabetes and primary care. Thank you very much, Nadia, again for your time.
Thanks, Adam.
And see you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.